feet, and behold, a bright flame. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for the joy, the desires of having an opportunity to come into the life of Thy Son. We've heard of a few who did meet Him and talk with Him, were blessed by Him when He was on earth, but we are thankful that Thou hast told us in Thy Word that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that the Lord Jesus is truly the Savior of the world. And it is our desire, Father, that all who are in the world come and meet this man and find him out to be the way that this woman found him out to be. Now, Father, we pray that Thy Spirit might prepare our hearts, that we would be blessed from this portion to be read. Thou knowest all the truth contained in it. Thou knowest the power of it. And so by Thy Spirit, give utterance and prepare hearts and make us worthy to speak the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Some people come to the Lord Jesus for one reason. Others come for a different reason. And in the past week, we found now three different reasons that people came to the Lord Jesus. Some people came to the Lord Jesus for spiritual reasons. That was the first message. Some come before God and want their sins forgiven. That's what the publican's desire was. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so he came into the presence of God and he said, I want my sins forgiven. But last week, a man came into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and it was evident to those who were looking at him when he was brought to Jesus why he came. He was a man who had the palsy, it means he was paralyzed, he was helpless to get about on his own. And if you bring a man in that condition to a doctor, there is no reason to tell him why he's there. He wants healing. And so this man came for healing. But in his heart, the Lord Jesus knew that he also wanted his sin forgiven. And so here was one who came not for spiritual blessings alone or physical blessings alone, but his friends brought him perhaps specifically for that purpose. But he was a man who had both a physical and a spiritual need. But today, the woman who comes to the Lord Jesus has only a physical need. That's all she talks about. And so think of your life now. And if you had a prayer to pray to God, what would be paramount? Would it be, Lord, I want my sins forgiven? Or, Lord, I have a sickness that is wasting me away and I never seem to get better. I want you to bless me in my body. Or, you come to the Lord Jesus and want to be blessed in your body and in your soul. Because the Lord has made things so that some of us have needs that others do not. This publican, even though he had a great need, he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There was nothing physically wrong with him that we read about in the Bible. And so there are some people whom God has blessed with health, and they can thank God for that, but they have not as yet had their sins forgiven. Are you one of those? I've heard some people say, I've never been sick a day in my life. I just heard someone say that he remembers being sick when he had the measles as a child and he's been sick again. And so some can say, thank God, I've experienced so little sickness in my life. That is fine. And so God blesses some people with good health. And yet these same people, if they were asked, well, has God blessed you with the forgiveness of sins? They would say, why, I don't know. I've never gone and I haven't thought about that. And so there are some who have good health, but they're still sinning. If God were to let you look within your soul and see its condition in a spiritual way, that he let that man who had the palsy look upon his body and see what his condition was in a physical way, man would run to the Lord Jesus and say, "Oh God, I need my soul healed." And that is what men forget. But you see, the soul is within, and you can't see it. At times, the conscience bothers you, and you feel something, but you have a picture. But God gives us pictures of sin, like this one that we studied about last week, a person who is paralyzed. And if I ask you, what can you do for God? If you haven't been born again, you can't do anything for God. You are helpless. You are pictured in that paralytic. You have to have somebody to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or, at times, lepers come to the Lord Jesus. And if I describe your spiritual condition, you are a loathsome leper, spiritually, unless you come to the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. But you can't see that. You can't see my soul, and I can't see your soul. But God sees your soul, and that is the way he would describe it. Go and look in any medical journal at a loathsome leper whose body is decaying and falling to pieces, and that is how God looks upon your soul if you've never been forgiven. But we say, it can't be that way. God says it is that way. And so he brings a paralytic before, he brings a leper before, he brings all of these sick people before to let us know how our soul, if it has not been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, looks in his sight. And yet, we are not able to see that. And so you say, well, I'm thankful to God for all the physical blessings I receive, for the good health that I have. Well, what about the condition of your soul? We sing a song on occasion, "It is well with my soul." And so this publican went into the presence of God, and the health that he had was not even mentioned. But he said, "God, I need my sins forgiven." But in the occasion that we read about today, this woman doesn't mention any of her sins. She simply said, "I want to be healed of my disease." Now that's important. I didn't tell you this last week. But this week I want to bring to your attention that some people in the Bible are afflicted physically because of their spiritual wrongdoing. There was a man in John chapter 5 who had been sick for 38 years. And the Lord Jesus healed him. And later he saw him in the temple. And this is what he said to him. He said, "You're well now." He said, "Sin no more, lest the worst thing befall thee." How gracious God is. Sin that brought a sickness upon a man, and he had been that way 38 years, and God graciously healed him. He said, "Sin no more." And so there's some people who have physical maladies because of the sins that they have committed. But understand this. There are others who have physical maladies not because of anything that they have done, just because of the sin that was done by Adam. No matter how good or how bad you are, you're going to die. And it's not your fault. It's Adam's fault. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And all the thorns and weeds and thistles that grow in the earth, they're not your fault, they're Adam's fault. And so there's some things that have come upon man because of original sin of Adam, the curse, the thorns, sicknesses, diseases, death, and some little children are born with diseases, not because of anything they've done, but because of something another has done. But there are others, like the man that was a paralytic that we read about last week. And since the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, "Son, thy sin be forgiven thee," the Lord Jesus knows the one whose sickness has been caused by sin. There is a connection, and James talks about it too. It speaks about one that is sick, and it says, "And if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven him." And so some people are relatively good, and yet they are sick. And there are others who are well, and yet they are vile sinners. And so I can't put my finger on. And so this woman came, and the Lord Jesus does not mention anything about her sin. It could be for this reason. It could be that her sin has already been forgiven, and now there was some physical trouble that she wanted Jesus to take care of. Others, they are physically well, but they need to have their sins forgiven. Some are both, like the man last week. That's the way I interpret it. And so, what is your condition today? You're here, thank God. You have a measure of health. But if the Lord Jesus looks within, could he say, you are as healthy within as without? Or are you like a leper, a paralytic, a woman who has an issue of blood? And so that's the way that God looks upon us. All of us have needs. We have spiritual needs, we have physical needs, and some people have physical and spiritual needs. But the thing that's paramount and the thing that God makes us aware of the physical pain we have. Take a sharp instrument and stick it in your body and you feel it immediately. You have a headache, you know it immediately. But we sin and we do not feel the result and the pains of sin immediately. And we become numb to the sins that we commit. And the Bible speaks about a conscience that is seared as with a hot iron. And we can sin until we have no feeling at all. But eventually, the pain will be felt in a lost eternity. But there are those who have needs, and God makes those needs known. And there are others who have pain, and God doesn't have to let a person in the condition of this woman, he doesn't have to let her know that she has a need. She's aware of it. And so she comes to the Lord Jesus. This is beautiful for this reason. I marvel that the woman came to the Lord Jesus at all. Because there's some things in my life that would drive people away from the Lord Jesus, and perhaps yours too. And there were things in the lives of the disciples that would drive people away from the Lord Jesus for this reason. You remember when he came down from that mountain, his disciples, the nine, had been down in the valley, and a man had come to them and said, I want you to cast the demon out of my daughter, out of my son, my child. And the apostle tried to do it, but they were unable to do it. And so the man was hopeless until the Lord Jesus came upon the scene. And he said, I brought my child to your disciples, and they weren't able to do anything. He said, but if you are able to do anything, have mercy upon us. And so the Lord Jesus said, if you are able. You see how often we can discourage people? We tell people that Jesus forgives sins. He makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He enables us to live before the world, a growing testimony. The life that you've lived the past week, tell me, is it a testimony of the Lord Jesus? Where people look at you and say, this is what Jesus can do for you? Well, I don't know if I want to go through him. I don't want to be troubled to get to the improvement that you've had in your life. So often it can be that way. And I'm thinking about this woman. I marvel that she still had faith that anybody could do her any good. It said she had been sick 12 years, and she had gone to one physician after another, one after another, and each one charged her, and each one failed in the remedy prescribed. And it said she grew nothing better, but worse. And now, if she had heard of another doctor, she couldn't go to him, because she had spent all that she had. And so this is what happens in the world. It's one of the subtle tricks of Satan. People go here seeking rest. They go there seeking rest. They try this religion and that religion. And they say, none has brought me satisfaction. And so no religion brings satisfaction. But the Lord Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No, I've tried Confucianism, I've tried Buddhism, I've tried all the religions of the world, and I never had any peace of heart. No, it's just another religion. And I'm thinking of this. Here are all the physicians with the reputations they have, because why would a person go to a physician if he had no reputation? If there was something wrong with you, and one doctor had failed, and you heard of another doctor, but this doctor's reputation, but he can heal you. Why, if you had money, you would go and give it to him. And so, for 12 years, this had been going on. And all of them had given her pain. She grew no better, but worse. They took all her money. But it says this, she heard about Jesus. Now, the truth of Satan is this. There is no difference in Jesus. Didn't you hear about this religion and that religion? Didn't you hear about this denomination and that denomination? Yes. Did you try them? I tried them all. Are you any better? No. There's no difference in Jesus. Stay away from him. He's just another name. He's just another religious leader, no different from the rest. I marvel that this woman still had faith to trust the Lord Jesus. She had tried all of these positions, but there is one more. And it said she had heard concerning Jesus. And her heart is filled with faith. She said, now all of these others have failed. Their remedies were of no avail. But this man is different. If I can go and touch what is common, I shall be made whole. Now that is a remarkable thing. And I'm thinking of you, and I'm thinking of myself, because as a child, I remember there were ladies who would take me to their different churches. Some were one denomination, some were another, and I went to them all, and yet I left the way I came. I was religious, but my sins had not been forgiven. And so later in life, I said to myself that all religions were the same. That this one offers this and the other one offers that, but basically, they're all the same. Until one man brought to my attention, not a religion and not a church, but a man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, he can do for you what no other can. What you will not find in Protestantism or Catholicism or Judaism or any religion of the world. Go and trust Christ. He can save your soul. He can forgive you of your sins. He can give you the assurance. He can give you peace of heart. And so, after trying all of these others, I said, I will try the Lord Jesus. And the result was the same as the descendants. But the marvel is this, that Satan has entrapped so many that they will not try. It's like the Lord Jesus talking to Pilate. He's about ready to go to the cross, and Pilate is talking to him. And the Lord Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said, what is truth? And he walked away. You see? The world is telling you all of these things, but I tell you that no matter what the world has told you and the failures you have experienced, the Lord Jesus can help you. He is the Savior of sinners. He can do what no other has done for you. And you may be like Pilate and say, what is truth? And walk away. Or you could be like this woman, even though you've had all of these bitter experiences with other physicians that have tried to heal you. Still, there can be that faith in your heart. Jesus is different. If I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. And so this woman did that very thing. All right, think for a moment. I know what was going on in her mind. If you read in the Old Testament, a woman in this condition was ceremonially unclean. She was not to be permitted around people. No one could touch her. And so this woman wants to be healed. And so she has this conviction. She has the conviction, though all other physicians have failed, this physician that she sees, that she's getting near to, if I touch not his garment, I shall be made whole. She has assurance that he has power to heal her. But she does not know if he wants to heal her, if he loves her, if he wants to come in contact with a woman that has an issue of blood. And so she decides to do this. I know he can heal me. And all I have to do is to steal behind in the crowd. No one will see me, and touch his garment, and then I shall be made whole. Well, I thank God for this. That some people have heard things about the Lord Jesus. They've heard that the Lord Jesus is a friend of publicans and sinners, but they don't believe that. They've heard that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse from all sin. They do not believe that. They've heard that he is the miracle worker. They do not believe that. That he's the resurrection and the life. They do not believe that. But some believe one thing about the Lord Jesus, whereas they're not sure about other things. And I tell you that it is essential that you believe all the truth about the Lord Jesus. The only thing you have to believe is that he has power to heal you of your spiritual disease, sin. All other things in time will be taken care of. And so this woman's thinking was right and it was wrong. But it did not prevent her from being blessed by the Lord Jesus. She thought that he would not want to touch me. The people do not want to see me. I have no right ceremonially to be around these people. And Jesus would have no compassion on me, but his power in him to heal me. Understand, the Lord Jesus did not wait until she had perfect understanding about his power and his compassion. The Lord Jesus simply was willing to bestow upon her that which she had faith to accept from the Savior, and that is, he could heal. And so, whatever misgivings, misconceptions you have about the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter. If you know this, that he is the Savior of sinners, and he will save me of my sins, that's all that is necessary. And you go and make contact with Jesus. That's all you have to do. Doesn't matter how you make contact with him. Make contact with Jesus, however imperfect you are in your thinking, and the Lord Jesus will bless you, not because of your perfect reason, but in spite of your imperfect reason and comprehension of them. But a person who thinks certain things about the Lord Jesus that are true, he must come in contact with the Lord Jesus one way or another. Some do it by a touch when Christ was on earth. And some do it by a cry, because that man that went into the temple cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so some make contact with God by means of speech. And others make contact with God when the Lord Jesus was on earth by touch. And others make contact with the Lord Jesus by means of thought. That man named Nathanael that was sitting under that fig tree, he was thinking certain things. And his thoughts made contact with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And so you say then, if I call to the Lord, he knows, yes. If I touch the Lord, he knows, yes. But without touching him or saying, if in my heart I say silently to God, I'm a guilty sinner, Lord Jesus, I want you to cleanse me by your precious blood, without saying anything, would he know it? I've shown you this. All of these physical things the Lord Jesus simply allows because of you. The Lord Jesus never had to touch a sinner to heal him, but he did it for the sinner's benefit. When this man had a son that was sick in a distant city, the Lord Jesus said to him, go your way, your son is made whole. And so the Lord Jesus can do it with a word, he can do it with a thought, he can do it with a touch, he can do it by making clay and putting it to the sick part of a person's body. It's simply something that the Lord Jesus does so that your physical senses can understand that you simply have to make contact. It makes no difference how. There simply has to be within you repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether that's shown by a cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner, or by a touch, or by a thought confessed secretly in your heart, oh God, I need my sins forgiven. I'm trusting your Son for salvation. God is a worker of all that is going on. And God marks down whenever a sinner trusts in his Savior. That's what he did last week. When that paralytic was brought to him, nothing was said. That's the marvel. He did not say, I want to be healed, but the Lord Jesus knew he did. He did not say, I want my sins forgiven, but the Lord Jesus knew he wanted his sins forgiven. And not only that, he knew that in that man's heart, he had trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior because he said, Son, thy sins are forgiven. And the Lord Jesus never forgives sins until someone places his faith in him as best he knows how for forgiveness of sins. And so something took place, and the Lord Jesus is aware of these things. Now, let me tell you this. The Lord had let this woman and tell me if he is a cruel, heartless Savior. He had let this woman suffer 12 years. Now, some of you have had lingering diseases, and think of a woman who has had an issue of blood for 12 years. What kind of God is this that lets that woman suffer year after year? Let her go to the wrong physician. Let her spend all the money that she has, and now she's impoverished and she's sick and she's brought to the end of herself. What kind of God would do such a thing? Why, a God that wants you to come to your right senses. That's why. Because what happens is this, and in one sense, modern medicine is a curse to man, and the drugs that relieve pain are a curse to man for this reason. Probably a good doctor today, had this woman come to him, could have given her medicine, could have stopped the flow of her hemorrhage. God has granted that wisdom to doctors today. And so she would have to look to the Lord Jesus. All that she needs is in this world. If I get sick, I go to a doctor who needs that great physician from heaven. You see? And at the same time, thank God for medicine, for anesthetic, for those things that remove pain. But I had been to visit cancer patients in the hospital, and I was going to talk to this patient about his soul. And I remember the nurse came in with a hypodermic, and she said, "Excuse me." And she gave him the hypodermic, and his mind was gone. Not able to talk to him anymore. Now, was this a blessing? You say, well, it relieved his pain. But what if his sins hadn't been forgiven? And so I thank God for all the suffering, for all the fruitless teaching God allows man to experience. Because now, this woman would say, if somebody said, "Try this position," she would say, "Oh no, I've tried them all. There was only one man who can do me any good, and that's the Lord Jesus. He is distinct from all others. He's the only one who can help me." Well, what about these? They are empty, broken systems. They can do nothing. And so this woman now is driven by extremity, by process of elimination, to one other, and that's the Lord Jesus. And that's why he lets you suffer. Because, you see, if he doesn't let you suffer, you say, well, life isn't so bad down here. And if he lets you get healed by earthly physicians, well, you don't need to go to God and say, "Lord, nobody can help me but you. I want you to help me." You're not brought to the end, you know. But if after 12 years in trying every physician and spending every penny that you have, then you come to Jesus, you say, "Lord, I've wasted all these years, but I know this. You are the only one. You are the only Savior to sinners." That's why God lets you go through these things. And some of them, he's got to let you suffer 24 years, not 12 years. And some, he has to let you suffer till the end of your life because he gives you health, and so you don't need to go through into that. And your children are all right, and so you don't need to go through into that. And at the same time, your conscience doesn't bother you very much. You're satisfied with the false religions of the world that tell you soothing things, and so you say, "Well, maybe my sins have been forgiven." And so, thank God that the Lord let this woman have her experiences, because now she knows, as Nebuchadnezzar knew, and as Naaman knew, when Nebuchadnezzar, after 7 years of suffering insanity, came to his senses, he said, "The God of Daniel, he's the only God." And when Naaman, the leper, was healed, he said, "God, the Lord, Jehovah, he's the only God." But before that, they tried all sorts of remedies. But after they came to the one true God, and after you come to the one true Son of God, you will say, "All others are false. They are counterfeit. This is the only one." And so this woman could look at the world and laugh and say, "Forget about the world. Forget about those. Go to Jesus. He's the one." I said I marveled that she could still have that faith in him after all the bitter experiences in the world. And I apologize for all of us Christians who, because of our faulty, imperfect lives, have made you wonder, well, can Jesus do anything for sinful men? He can. Look in the Bible at Paul's life. Look at the other ideal lives in the Bible. But then if you knew what they would be unless we trusted Christ as Savior, you would say, well, Jesus can do things for sinners. But so often we look at others and see failure, and we say, well, then Jesus cannot do anything much, or he would have done it in their lives. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our lives demand some apology, but I tell you that Jesus is able to do more than we present in our lives. All of us will confess that. And this woman, after 12 years, finds it out. But I told you this, that she had imperfect thinking. And God is not satisfied with people who have been blessed by him having imperfect thinking. There are some who go to evangelistic meetings. They go to a certain denomination that preaches Christ as the Savior of sinners, and then they will have 10 other things that are wrong. Another denomination that will say Christ is the Savior of sinners, 10 other things that are wrong. Well, the Lord Jesus isn't satisfied to let you just go and find out that He is the Savior of sinners and have 10 other things that are wrong. He said in Matthew 28 that having become His disciple, you were to be taught all things. You were to be commanded to observe all things that He had commanded. He wants you to be taught. And so this woman was thinking imperfectly. I believe that she thought there was magic in His garments, because she said, if I touch but His garment, I shall be made whole. And so the Lord Jesus had to straighten out that thinking. And so when she touched the Lord, the Savior said, who touched me? And the woman was frightened. And if you read all the accounts, it's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it seems as if first she told a lie. It said, when all denied, the Lord Jesus said, someone did touch me, because I perceive that power has proceeded from me. And then it says that the woman came with fear and trembling and fell down at the feet of Jesus and confessed all. Why? Because that woman had thought imperfectly. She thought this, that Jesus has power to heal me. But the only way that I'm going to get that power is to steal it from Him. He wouldn't give it to me if I came and asked Him. And the Lord Jesus has to correct that false thinking. You know that there's power in the Lord Jesus to bring blessings into your life? That's good. But did you know that there is as much love and compassion in the Lord Jesus as there is power to bless you in your life? Don't you understand that? And some people don't realize that. There are some right now who are afraid to go to Jesus. They say, I have to go to His mother, and His mother can plead with Him, and He will be tender toward me. The Lord Jesus said, I must correct all of that thinking. This woman knows of my power. Now she has to know of my compassion. And think, perhaps the woman thought that He would rebuke her for touching Him in her unclean condition, or perhaps she was more afraid of this, that He would take back the blessing that she had received. But the Lord Jesus assured her that He has no intention of doing that. He said, woman, be healed of thy plague. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, think of this. He told her two things. He said, I love you. I do not mind your touching me. You in no wise defile me when you touch me. I want you to know that. But at the same time, I want you to understand, it's not my garment that did anything for you. It was your faith, your imperfect faith. Now, I want you to have faith in me, not in my garment. And I want you to know that I love you and I have power to heal you in your body. Understand that. And now, having been blessed, even though you did not understand perfectly, I want you to know that I'm not going to take that blessing away from you, even though you stole it from me. I want you to go and be full of thy praise. And so she got the blessing, and then she heard the Lord Jesus speak with His lips, His willingness, His love, not only His ability to confer upon her the thing that she needed most in life. And that's what Christ wants all of you to know. He wants you to know that not His garments have blessed you, not coming to this building will save you, not the kind of prayer that you offer to God saves you. The only thing that saves you is a faith in the person of Jesus Christ. He wants you to know that saves you. Now, you may think that it's His garments. It's some building, some special design, some way that you kneel, some prayer that you pray. The Lord Jesus, if He sees that you have a need and you come to Him, He will forget all of these imperfect thoughts, this imperfect faith, and He will accept what element of it is true and correct. And then, having received it and having saved your soul, He will start teaching you, do not think any more about my garment. Do not think any more about the way that you prayed. Do not think, and He will say, this is truth. And that's what God wants you to know. Now, in every one that we have considered, we found it. Not one of them went away in uncertainty. It says that the publican went down to his house justified. And the Lord Jesus said to that paralytic, son, thy sins are forgiven. Just this. If the Lord Jesus were on earth, he would demonstrate the spiritual that cannot be seen by the physical that could be seen. When this paralytic was spoken to by Jesus and told, thy sins are forgiven, the Pharisees said, who can forgive sins but one, save God? The Lord Jesus said, that you may know that I have power on earth to forgive sins, I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to heal his body, and healing his body will prove that his sins are forgiven. Arise, take up your bed and walk. And the physical proves the spiritual. But can you accept this? That the spoken word of the Lord Jesus today is just as valid as a physical miracle? Is the Lord Jesus so untrustworthy in speaking the truth that a physical miracle has to take place before you can accept him as his word? Well, the Lord Jesus only says to us today that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He says, blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. But this we know, that Jesus is the Savior to whom you must ultimately come, and he loves you, and he wants you to come, and he will bless you. Come. Yes, that's great. Now, Father, we are thankful that even though we've tried so many of the world's remedies, you have not written us off and said, they've waited too long to come to me. There is still time to come to the Lord Jesus. And even though we are vile, and even though we might think that you do not love us and you do not want to come in contact with us, we are thankful, Father, that you have shown us that you do. Your word has described the Son as the friend of publicans and sinners. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We are thankful, our Father, that there is no sinner, however vile, who comes to Jesus, who will not be deceived and healed and saved and made a part of his family. And so, the faith that was in that woman, could you by your Spirit work in the hearts of all who are here to make them see this day, I'm going to place my faith in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And I know that in the coming days, he will heal my body, and he will save me and raise me up and give me an eternal home in heaven as well. Our Father, work in our hearts and in our wills that we might believe this. Undertake for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Amen.